Yeah, here we go now, baby. We are right back into the action for another day of the week. Welcome to the Wednesday edition of Before You Bet, right here on the Covers YouTube and X channels. If you're watching on YouTube, make sure you smash that subscribe button right down there. Hit the like button down there while you are at it. Guys, if you want to participate in the show, it's very easy to do so. A beautiful looking board in the NBA and Major League Baseball today. Let us know what your best bets are. Hit up that live chat on YouTube and over on X. Also, let us know where you are watching from. Before You Bet is an international sports betting program, and we welcome viewers from any country. So a lot to get into today. Pretty big trade in the NFL. We'll discuss that off the top. Best trends of the night for the NBA. Best bets of the night in the NBA. Best bets of the afternoon for Major League Baseball. I have three bets for the afternoon games, and I'm going to rip through the NFL over-under win totals, kind of provide some rapid reactions and some thoughts there. Guest today, our guy, the Ass Man, the Magic Man, John Mettler. Mettler, how are you making out?
Good. The assist props have been doing well of late, so everything's good.
Yes, sir, indeed. Okay, so we're going to get into NBA here shortly, but I want to touch on this Stephon Diggs trade right off the bat. I know you watch a little bit of football here, too. So, I don't know, you can kind of look at this from two different perspectives. As an AFC East fan, Miami Dolphins, the cupboards are kind of bare here for the Buffalo Bills. If you look at their wide receiver depth chart, Curtis Samuel is sitting number one on that wide receiver depth chart for them. So not very pretty there. Josh Allen already does way too much for that team. So they're going to be depending on him even more. So you can look at it from that way, just like as it relates to the upcoming season. But from the other perspective, Stephon Diggs, a bit of a malcontent, bordering on being washed up. Perhaps. So I don't know if it, people might say win-win. I don't know if it's the win for the Houston Texans that people are making it out to be. You know, what happens if he slips down? Is he expected to be the third receiver on their depth chart there? You know, what happens if a couple games in the season he's not getting a lot of balls? You think he's going to be quiet about it? He wasn't quiet at times with Josh Allen. So I think it's a win for the Miami Dolphins right off the bat. Long-term, maybe a bit of a win for the Bills, but the Houston Texans absolutely looking like a sexy team. Joe Mixon in their backfield as well. Any thoughts on the big trade there this morning?
Yeah, well, I have a Vikings helmet behind me there, so I am pretty familiar with Stephon Diggs. For me, you know, when I saw the trade, I was talking to producer Mick before we came on here too about it. Kind of looks maybe like a win-win. You know, if I'm the Bills, you get out of, he's 30, I think Stephon Diggs is 30, and he's owed 75 million, and you get a second round pick. I think that's pretty good value. And then you go to the Texans, you know, you're not, this is the window where you're not paying your quarterback a lot. So like, you're more likely, you know, even if it is a bit of an overpay on like the salary for Stephon Diggs with him being 30, it's still one of those things like, we don't want to, you know, let's spend this money while we can and give CJ Stroud as many weapons as we possibly can. So I don't know. I kind of like it. I like it from both sides. I know what you're saying. Honestly, it probably does help the Dolphins the most, get that guy out of the division and stuff. And, you know, Josh Allen is down a lot of weapons here, but I think this is a pretty heavy wide receiver draft too. So they might use that second round pick and some other things to maybe get up and get him a number one receiver who's on a cheaper contract and younger, right?
Yeah, who knows? Maybe they pull off a trade or something as well. So, okay, news item number two, and this one doesn't quite move the needle as much as a big wide receiver being traded in the NFL, but Steve Clifford, coach of the Charlotte Hornets, announced that he's going to be stepping down at the end of the season. So the never-ending rebuild in Charlotte. You could take the best coach in the world and make him the head coach of the Charlotte Hornets. They're not going to have a whole lot of success. So you have two really pathetic teams in that division. You have the Hornets and the Wizards. Which of those teams do you think is more pathetic?
I think the Hornets have more going for them right now. I think this is a super, super important hire for them. They got to get this one right for the coaching staff. You got Brandon Miller, you got LaMelo Ball. I mean, those are two pretty young, talented players and stuff. And they have some other pieces too. And they, I think they have some pretty good draft cap. I don't know off the top of my head for sure, but you know, with LaMelo Ball and Brandon Miller, that's definitely something you can work with there. So the Wizards are, they're kind of like in that no man's land, right? Like they hung on to Bradley Beal for too long. They didn't really get much of a return. They have like veterans. And, I mean, Bilal Coulibaly is something you can build around, but they need multiple drafts here to get that franchise going. The Hornets are kind of on the other side of, they've already made the picks and they've got some good players in. Now they got to kind of hit on the pieces they put with them and the coach.
Yeah, Kuzma and Poole. That's not a duo you want as your top duo for a professional basketball team at all. Okay, so those are the news items off the top. Let's get into the NBA action here for tonight. We're going to start like we did on Monday's show, my favorite trends of the night in the NBA. There's a couple here that have caught my attention that are worth your consideration. I'm not saying just to tail these blind, but maybe the starting point of a bet tonight. So the Hornets, who we just spoke about, who I think one of the most pathetic teams in all of professional sports, they've been a home favorite four times this season. They are 0-4 against the spread in that spot this season. They're favored by a single point versus the Blazers, who might even be more pathetic somehow. Can't name most of the guys in the starting lineup for them these days. A bit of a better game here. John's Orlando Magic in New Orleans taking on the Pelicans. The Magic have gone under the first quarter total in 9 of their last 10 games. The first quarter total for the game tonight, 53.5 points. These teams played back on March 21st. They combined for 51 first quarter points in that game. And these teams are first and fourth in first quarter points allowed over the last 10 games. So maybe a bit of a stingy start there. Good looking game here in Boston, especially if SGA is going to suit up. Celtics hosting the Thunder, and the Celtics have gone over the first half total in 9 of their last 10 games. This game has a first half total of 114.5. These teams combined for 118 in the first half when they met in January. Celtics averaging a league high 66.4 first half points over their last 10 games. And then two here for the Timberwolves. I don't think anyone's too eager to bet on the Toronto Raptors here these days, especially in the second game of a back-to-back. But Timberwolves, massive 16-point favorite tonight. They're just 6-14 against the spread in their last 20 games as a double-digit favorite. So maybe they play down to the competition. And they don't get off to great starts at home. So the T-Wolves, 1-9 ATS in their last 10 first halves at home. And the Raptors, so the first half spread for this game, 8.5. Raptors actually have a winning spread record in the first half over their last 10 games. Now, if I needed to pick one of these to place a bet on, I would go for that first quarter under. Magic Pelicans, it's at 53.5. Mettler, any of those stand out to you, or is it pass on all five?
You picked the one I was going to talk about. Just seeing the last two games here for Zion Williamson. You know, we saw the Celtics do, and I just watched the Suns do it last night. I was watching film. The, you know, with Brandon Ingram out, Zion's, they're trying to, everything's running through Zion. But you saw the Suns, they guarded Zion with Bradley Beal. So you put a small guard on him. But then Yusuf Nurkic was almost like playing directly behind Beal as help. So instead of going big on Zion to start and he can blow past the person, we're going to go small as the initial defender and go big behind them. And Zion is kind of struggling with that. So the Magic, you know, the Magic could deploy, they will, but they can also put size on him, like behind and front. Like it could be Jonathan Isaac guarding him on the perimeter. And then you have like Banchero, Wagner, Carter behind backing him up. That doesn't create a lot of space at all for Zion Williamson to score. There'd be more pressure on the Pelican shooters. So just as you're saying that trend, I think there's a chance Zion Williamson kind of has a hard time scoring tonight. They need to figure that out going to the playoffs, because that looks like how he's going to be guarded in the playoffs.
Yeah, that's the one I'd play. I think a slow start offensively in New Orleans for two pretty good defensive teams. Okay, Mettler, let's get into your official plays tonight. A trio of player props. D'Angelo Russell, he's coming on strong, stuffing that stat sheet here for the Lakers, earning a little bit of respect here. And you like him, his assist total tonight.
Yeah, so I'm going over 5.5 assists. I actually bet this last night. So I grabbed it this morning at minus 115. It has moved quite a bit. It's up to minus 140. Some spots are even minus 180. I'll talk about that too, but I bet this yesterday, 5.5 minus 115, open 5.5 minus 115 this morning as well. I grabbed it immediately. The price alone, there's a probability gap here. Just, you know, if everyone's playing, I do think it's probably also moving because there's maybe a chance LeBron James doesn't play tonight. This is the second night of a back-to-back. You're playing the Wizards. You should be able to beat the Wizards without LeBron James. I know the Lakers are trying to get out of that 9-10 spot in the play-in tournament, but it's also no good if you run Anthony Davis and LeBron James into the ground before the playoffs trying to do it. You won't be able to survive the playoffs. So there's like a long-term pitcher here as well. Just for Russell, you know, the Wizards is kind of the same thing with the Raptors. The Wizards have like zero rim protection. And Rashawn Holmes, he was out yesterday. Marvin Bagley left the game. Those guys don't provide much rim protection even when they do play, but now you're down both centers. So it's getting even worse here. I just think, you know, when you're trying to blow out a team, you go to your bigs, you get the ball inside, you score easily. I just think D'Angelo Russell, pick and roll, Anthony Davis. Anthony Davis should be able to finish at the rim pretty easily. Those potential assists should convert at a pretty high rate. So when you're talking about 5.5 minus one, I'd still play the minus 140, by the way. I think this is, you know, this is going to go up to 6.5 for sure. But the I just think, you know, with this matchup, Russell should be able to get over that number.
Okay, next up, we have another guard, Darius Garland of the Cleveland Cavaliers. What do you like for him tonight?
Yeah, so it's kind of like a similar vibe here with D'Angelo Russell, where I like Garland if everyone's playing. I'm pricing this as if everyone is playing, but Donovan Mitchell was out last night in Utah, which was kind of a shame. I'm sure a lot of those fans wanted to see him return to Utah, but he was out. So I'm assuming he's playing. It's just injury maintenance, which usually means, you know, you're almost just sitting out one end of the back-to-back. You're probably playing tonight. But if he does sit out, you know, you're sitting on a great spot if you grab the 6.5 right now. Even if Mitchell does play, still like the bet. So it's just kind of like maybe going after a little added boost here. More specifically to Darius Garland against the Phoenix Suns. They played the Suns on March 11th. If you go watch the film, he was running a ton of action with Jared Allen. You know, it was pick and roll, dribble, handoff, whatever it was. Garland, even just off the bounce, the Suns have a hard time containing guards. Garland was able to get in the lane. He was able to get to wherever he wants. He's able to find his shooters, able to find his dunkers. He didn't have Evan Mobley in that game. He will tonight. So that gives him even another lob threat. Jared Allen was the one he was feeding in that game. They had Caris LeVert and Darius Garland combined for 30 potential assists in that game. Something that tells you right there, you know, it's a different game, new day, but it, obviously the Suns had a hard time guarding them.
Okay, up to over 1,000 live viewers right now across YouTube and X. Probably about 90% of those on X right now. Guys, let us know what you are on tonight. What is your lock of the night? I don't call them locks. Some people do, though, in the NBA. It's a lot of afternoon action in Major League Baseball. Also, let us know where you are tuning in from today. And one final pick here for Mettler, Corey Kispert. What do you like for him?
Yeah, so I'm going over 1.5 assists. So this is like kind of like the window in the NBA season where teams are going to, they're going to play elevated minutes on guys. They're trying to figure out what they have in a certain player, you know, as we come down the stretch here. So when we go into the offseason, we know, you know, do we need to replace him? Should he stay in the starting lineup? All these type of things. I think Corey Kispert is finding himself in that spot right now. So his last eight games, he's averaging 37.6 minutes per game. That's really high. You know, he's only averaging 24.9 in the season. So I'm going after his assist prop just because, you know, when I look at his potential assist numbers in that eight game stretch, he's averaging 4.1, which is really good. When you're talking about a total of 1.5, they just aren't converting for him. So, you know, his total's not climbing. It's staying down here at 1.5 because he keeps going under. You know, his last four games here, he only has 3 assists, but he's averaging 4 potential assists even in those games. So you think, you know, he's had 3 assists, 16 potential assists over his last four games. So if you just go look at his box score, you're gonna be like, ah, 0 assists, 0 assists. I don't really want to bet on this guy. But he had 16 potential assists and only 3 actual assists. It's got to flip at some point, and I'm banking on it being tonight. And I'm willing to bet it will be tonight because it's 1.5 minus 135.
Okay, Mettler, before we let you out the door, I want to ask you about a tweet that you put out last night that got a little bit of attention here. So you dropped a tweet about a project you did in university about how legalized sports betting would elevate revenue in women's sports. And I guess your professor wasn't very fond of it. Provide a little bit of context here for us.
Yeah, I made that tweet not thinking it would blow up like this on Twitter. So basically, I took human kinetics, kinesiology, basically sports. I don't know what it's called in the United States. So it was like a sport management class, and we're talking about business, you know, around leagues and stuff. And we had to do a project on elevate or how women's sports could increase revenue. So me being a sports bettor, even back then, my idea was, I think the women's sports should jump out in front and be one of the first leagues to like jump into the gambling space, or like even find a way to, you know, it wasn't legalized back then. So, but there, you know, there were ways, you know, we had daily fantasy, which was kind of gambling. You could kind of get through the rules. I just thought I think my project was mostly on the WNBA. I thought they should jump out and work with a company on like a game that, you know, people could invest in, bet on, and it would get them more invested in their league. And I just think that, you know, you go back, the NFL has been benefiting from this way before legalization even happened. You know, fantasy sports, you know, I'm not watching Jaguars Browns on a Thursday night just for fun. Like, I need to get 27 fantasy points from a player, right? So yeah, I just feel like I feel like the women's sports, if they could have jumped out and you know, worked with a company or something to get people playing fantasy or like betting on it. The bottom line was, professor didn't like it. She didn't think it was a good idea at all. She was like, oh, it's illegal, you can't do this. And I just remember, you know, she wanted to talk to me after the class, and she like explained to me, she's like, you know, your project was well done. Everything was good. The problem is your idea is illegal. So I got to give you, I'm not giving you the best mark on it. And now I'm like, obviously this is not the only reason women's sports is doing much, much better now, but I also, you know, it also helps a lot. Even when you're betting on a game, you get way more into and stuff. And like, I had friends texting me at the end of the UConn USC game because UConn wasn't hitting their free throws. And it wasn't because we were afraid UConn wouldn't win, it's because we were afraid they wouldn't cover the 3.5. So, you know,
yeah, games only bettors can love. We talk about those all the time, and people tune into these games specifically because they have action on it. I have action on this Marlins Angels game that's starting in about an hour. Do you think I would watch that ordinarily if I had nothing weighing on it? No, I absolutely would not. But I will say about that C minus, I would be proud of that. Much better than what I did in my first year of university. So congratulations to you on that C minus.
Yeah. Yeah. Just, it was one of those things where, you know, if TV ratings are up because people are watching because they have bets on it, they should be able to make more money, and it didn't fly.
Absolutely. P Bostana. This is why we bet. Yes, sir. Must be a regular viewer of the show. How many times did I say that on Thursday Night Football during the NFL season? I cannot wait to do it again. Going to be talking some NFL here shortly. But Mettler, thanks a lot for joining us today. Best of luck with those bets. We'll catch you again on Friday.
All right. So good luck with your bets. See you on Friday.
Yes, sir. The man right there. Okay. Three bets for Major League Baseball. Off to a winning start this season. Going to try to keep this going. Each of these bets, afternoon games. So let's start down in Miami. I was talking about this game, the Angels in town. And the Marlins have this guy, AJ Puck. You ever hear of this guy? If you're a hardcore fan, I'm sure you have. I'm going to go under 5.5 strikeouts. A little juicy, minus 140. I think it's worth it, though. This guy is a lifetime reliever for a reason. So he made his first career start last week, and it went horribly. He lasted just 2 innings. He threw 68 pitches, 4 earned runs, an insane 6 walks in 2 innings. So I think we should expect a short leash for him if things start to go off the rail once again. Now, it's short sample sizes that we're looking at here for the season, but Los Angeles is showing more discipline at the plate here. A lot of Ks in their first few games, but they have the 8th lowest K percentage over their last 3 games. Drawing a respectable amount of walks, excuse me. So maybe things starting to even out for them. Puck, I don't expect him to go deep into this one. I do not expect him to reach 6 strikeouts. Ryan Crokes, afternoon baseball to bet. Let's go. Yeah, don't you love this? I always say that, you know, this is one of my favorite things about baseball. There's just always random games going on a Wednesday, Thursday, Tuesday, Monday afternoon. The NHL and NBA, they should do this occasionally. I know, I think on like Martin Luther King Day, they'll have afternoon games on a Monday or whenever it is. Should do it more often. I absolutely love it. Okay, next up, let's go to Oakland. The A's playing host to the Red Sox. I'm going to take the Red Sox to go over their team total. A little bit of plus money here, plus 104. Bet that one over at FanDuel. Bats are heating up here for Boston. 19 runs off 31 hits in their last 3 games. They're taking on this guy, Ross Stripling. He got absolutely shit-canned in his season debut, and that was a carryover from spring training where he also got shit-canned. So his season debut, he allowed 4 earned runs and 9 base runners against Cleveland. This after posting an 8.38 ERA in spring training. Red Sox hitters have combined for a 9.06 OPS against him in 60 at-bats. And the A's bullpen, they might be running on fumes coming into this one. 12.1 innings pitched over their last 2 games. That is the most in all of Major League Baseball. So the pitching situation does not look good here for Oakland going up against a hot offense. And we're going to wrap things up in Arizona. Yankees in town to play the Diamondbacks. I'm going to take Merrill Kelly under 2.5 earned runs. I like Kelly in this one. So he's allowed 2 or fewer earned runs in 9 of his last 11 starts at home. 1 or fewer in 6 straight now. That's going back to last season. He appears to be in pretty good form here this season already. 1 earned run and 8 strikeouts and 6.2 innings of work in his season debut. And he had pretty good success there against the Yankees at Yankee Stadium. He faced them in late September of last season, held them to 2 earned runs off 4 hits. So take Kelly under 2.5 earned runs. Russian 05, didn't think I'd hear shit-canned twice on the show today, but here we are. Yeah, that's when I go to. on the regular. You guys are going to hear that quite a bit here over the course of the season. Major League Baseball. Okay, NFL over-under win totals. They drop these things earlier and earlier and earlier every single season. I think they used to wait till after the draft. But they're up. They went up last week. And I'm going to kind of go through the board here and provide some rapid-fire reactions. First, before I get into the teams, I want to share this little tidbit here with you guys. So teams with the hardest schedules in 2024 based off their opponents' results in 2023. The Browns, Ravens, Steelers, Packers, and Texans are the five teams with the hardest schedules. You know, tough divisions. Plus, they're going to have to play teams from the AFC North, have to play the Chiefs, Cowboys, and Eagles this year. Teams with the easiest schedules: Saints, Falcons, Bears, Panthers, and Bucks. I think the Bears are going to be a sexy pick here for the people. Okay, so let's get into some of these over-under win totals that have been released. Kind of rapid-fire reactions. Nothing that I bet on by any means yet. But I just have some thoughts. So Cowboys at the top of the board. This is courtesy of DraftKings, by the way, at 10.5. They're coming off a 12-win season last year. I don't know. I think this could be the year that the wheels might fall off a little bit here for the Dallas Cowboys. We know Mike McCarthy's not the answer. They brought him back. They lost Dan Quinn. They completely forgot about free agency. So maybe an under there. You got to assume Washington and the Giants will be a little bit better. Next up here, we have the Eagles at 10.5 as well. They won 11 last season. Of course, the wheels completely fell off for them in the second half of last year. A lot of people are down on them. I don't mind the over on this one, a plus 105. I think they're going to have more stability with their offensive and defensive coordinators. Bengals, 10.5. Not a whole lot of feeling on that one. Of course, Joe Burrow went out last year. They won 9 games. He missed a handful of games for them. Probably lean over on that one. Here's one I have some thoughts on. The Jets, 9.5 wins. My God, guys. Okay, so they won 7 last year. So you might think, well, yeah, Aaron Rodgers is going to make a 3-win difference for them. And I told you guys, I said, this is what we're going to see from the Jets here. They are going to make a splash in the offseason. They have made a splash. They bring in Mike Williams, Hassan Reddick. They improved the offensive line. But the coaching still absolutely sucks for the New York Jets. It's still Nathaniel Hackett. You have Aaron Rodgers, who's 40 years old. And people conveniently forget that he sucked in his last season in Green Bay. Pretty tough division here for the Jets too. So yeah, I like under. I like plus 110 for the Jets not to make the playoffs too. Easy one. So Detroit, their win total is at 10.5. This after winning 12 last year. Yeah, I like the over on that one for Detroit. I think they are in the middle of a bit of a championship window here. They didn't lose too much during the offseason. Their offensive coordinator, Ben Johnson, people assume they were going to lose him. He is back. So yeah, I like the Lions to go over that number. Seahawks, 7.5. I don't know, probably lean under on that one. No strong feelings on that. Then we come to my Miami Dolphins, 9.5. It's juiced to minus 145. I don't like that. They're coming off an 11-win season last year. Here's the thing for the Dolphins. Their schedule this year, it's going to be a lot easier than it was last year. They have one of the easier schedules in the league. I do like that. The big consideration, though, Tua stayed healthy last year. Can he do that again? I don't know. Yeah. So, yeah, you're goddamn right. I'm going to lean over on the total for my Miami Dolphins. After that, we have the Jaguars. 8.5 seems kind of low. Jags coming off a 9-win season. They kind of collapse at the end of the year. A lot of pressure on Trevor Lawrence. He's been a bit of a, you wouldn't call him a bust. I would say he's been a bit of a disappointment. Saints, 7.5. Saints are one of the uglier teams in the league, right? Derek Carr at quarterback. No one's excited about that at all. 7.5, though, they're coming off of a 9-win season, and they have the easiest schedule this season based on their opponent's 2023 record. So, yeah, over on that one, I like that. Colts, 8.5. They seem to be going in the right direction. Coming off of a, 9-win season last year. The division isn't very strong at all. But, you know, Anthony Richardson, is he going to stay healthy? Can he play in 15 games for them this season? Time will tell. The Raiders, 6.5. I like the under on that at plus 115. who in the hell is going to be their quarterback this season? I don't think O'Connell is the answer. I don't know if they got the right guy at head coach too. I think they were kind of forced into bringing him on as their head coach just because he's like the players all vouched for him and stuff like that. So I don't know. I don't think that they got the players. They're going to be bad. The Broncos, this one is low, 5.5, minus 135 on the over. I don't know. I guess they're going into a rebuild. We have no idea who their quarterback's going to be. Pittsburgh Steelers, 8.5. You know, is Mike Tomlin going to continue this incredible stretch of winning season, never having a losing season? They won 10 last year. And it was a revolving door at quarterback. And they had Matt Canada as their offensive coordinator for most of the season. Now they bring over Arthur Smith. Arthur Smith, he stunk as a head coach, but some guys are meant to be coordinators. I think he could be a pretty good offensive coordinator for them. They're going to have stability at quarterback. The quarterback position is much better. Say what you want about Russell Wilson, but I think he's a much better option than the Kenny Picketts and Mason Rudolphs that they had starting for them. The 49ers, 11.5. Under juiced to minus 150. Now, that's not a bet I would make, but the 49ers, they stayed pretty healthy here last season. That's not always the case for them. So who knows there if they can be as dominant as they were this past season. Then we have the Rams at 8.5. Hey, I like the Rams. I think the Rams are going in the right direction. I think they finally have a first-round draft pick this year. They haven't had one for a couple seasons there. I know Aaron Donald's gone. But 9 wins, I think that that's something they can pull off. They had 10 last year. You can argue that they overachieved. You know, can Matthew Stafford stay healthy for them? That's going to be very important for them. Then we have Baltimore, 11.5, one of the most difficult schedules in the NFL. Baltimore is just, quite frankly, a great regular season team when Lamar Jackson's healthy, of course. They won 13 games last year. Then they tend to, you can say that they choke a little bit in the playoffs. Absolutely. So, yeah, I would probably lean over on that one for them. Green Bay, way up to 10.5. We talked about them having one of the most difficult schedules in the NFL this season. They won 9 games last season, a very strong second half. People very high on Jordan Love. I think their division is going to be a bit more challenging this year, though. You would expect an uptick from the Bears. Maybe the Vikings. We'll see who they bring in as their starter. Is it going to be Sam Darnold? Ugh, I don't know about that. Cleveland Browns, 8.5. Some people might think that's kind of low after winning 11 games last season. They got one of the most difficult schedules in the league coming up here. Deshaun Watson, what an absolute disaster that guy is. That's not going to work out at all. And they, you know, they had a revolving door at quarterback last year. And despite that, they did win 11 games. Yeah, I don't know about the Browns. I think they're going to have a bad season. We got the Bucs here, 8.5, kind of getting the band back together, if you will. Baker Mayfield, Mike Evans back. They won 9 last year. Over 8.5 is plus 125. If it was even money, I don't think I'd like it. But plus 125, probably worth a shot. The Tennessee Titans, 6.5. The under juice to minus 150. You kind of assume they would have gone full-fledged headfirst into a rebuild. Not the case, though. They bring in Calvin Ridley, probably overpaid for him. Who knows about the coach that they brought in for the Bengals. So, yeah, I think the Titans have potential to be one of the worst teams in the NFL this season. Falcons, this one's interesting. 9.5 with the over juice to minus 140. Was Kirk Cousins, was a quarterback, the final piece to this puzzle? I don't know. I mean, the big thing here is that they play in a really shitty division. I do think that people have a short memory with Kirk Cousins. He used to be one of the biggest punching bags in the NFL. Remember primetime Kirk Cousins? Couldn't perform under the bright lights, but he does play good during the regular season. People tend to like him after the Netflix thing. I like him quite a bit. But I think it really comes down to that's a pretty bad division. So I think it's their division to lose. The Panthers, 4.5. The overjuice to minus 135, they bring in, is it David Canales? Is that the name of the guy? The offensive coordinator from the Bucs they bring in as their head coach. They somehow won 2 games last season, which kind of seems like overachieving for them if you think about it. They had a point differential of minus 180, the worst in the NFL. have the Panthers really done anything? They brought in that offensive lineman from the Dolphins. I don't know. Then this one's interesting. So we have the Chargers way down there at 8.5 with the over juice to -160 coming off of a 5-win season. Of course, Harbaugh back as the head coach for them. And he's a big time head coach, but it kind of seems, you know, Mike Williams gone, Eckler gone, the other wide receiver, they sent him packing. I don't know if they're going into a little bit of a rebuild. We'll see what Justin Herbert's made of, you know, kind of underachieved there last season. Not very good in the fourth quarter and second half. The New York Giants, 6.5. The under juice to -135. Who's playing quarterback for the Giants here? They got some good young pieces there, but is it Daniel Jones? Are they going to trade up in the draft here? The quarterback situation for them is a disaster. No interest in that. Kansas City Chiefs, 11.5. I think I like the over on that one. Division's not very good. They won 11 games last season, and if you recall, they didn't perform very strongly during the regular season there. Let's see what happens with Rashee Rice. He's in some trouble with the law. They need to add another wide receiver. So I kind of like them. Yeah, their defense is really good as well. Buffalo Bills, baby, 10.5. This after winning 11 last season. They put their foot on the gas. Had a decent final third of the season, I think it was there, for the Bills. But you look at the weapons Josh Allen has to play with. It's not very pretty at all. I mean, you could argue that, yes, Stephon Diggs on the verge of being washed up, but... yeah, I think they do depend on Josh Allen way too much. So maybe this is a year that they have a bit of a down season. And I don't think McDermott is the answer, a head coach there. But like the Ravens, they've been a great regular season team. The Bears, 8.5. You can take the under at +110. Who knows? Williams is going to, I really have no opinion on that. I'm just watch that one, see how it plays out. They had some good momentum going at the end of the season. I'll give them that. Some good young pieces. And of course, they're going to be starting over at quarterback again. And he has some weapons. He'll have some weapons to play with. The Commanders. Oh, yeah. A lot of excitement for this team. So, yeah, speaking of teams that are going to end up with a new quarterback, they're 6.5. Not a whole lot to like there. Not very inspired by the Dan Quinn head coach. Higher for them. Vikings, once again, the Vikings had a lot of injury issues last year. I think the Vikings have some nice pieces, but of course, Jefferson missed a big chunk, and then Kirk Cousins went down for them. So who's playing quarterback for them? They got pretty good coaching, though. Brian Flores at defensive coordinator's all right. O'Connell, good offensive mind. Cardinals, this is one I like. I'm taking the over on this one. 6.5, I like them to get to 7. Kyler Murray. He got injured. He went out for a year. This after having probably the worst year of his career. Everyone made fun of him. He had that contract, and he wasn't doing his homework, the Call of Duty stuff. I think he came back, and he matured a little bit. I think that showed in his play last year. Speaking of being made fun of, the head coach, that's a guy that, you know, some clips came out of him ahead of the season. He was mocked, but he proved to be a pretty good coach. I think they're in an excellent position in the draft. They're going to be able to take the best wide receiver. They're going to be able to have their choice there. McBride, a tight end, pretty good connection there with Murray in the second half of the season. And we wrap things up with the team that I think will be the worst in the NFL this season, the New England Patriots. Actually, the worst in the AFC. I don't know if they're going to be worse than the Carolina Panthers. Let's be fair. Producer Mick, you see him there circling the over on the 4.5. I don't know, man. Are they going to get Jaden Daniels, Drake May? Are these guys going to be the day one starter for them? Did the Patriots forget about free agency? What did they do in free agency? I don't think they made any big moves, but I'm sure my fellow Dolphins fans, Bills fans, and even Jets fans, we can all relate. We are happy with the state of things here for the New England Patriots. This is the real world. But I'm sure that they would accept this based on the fact that they won 6 goddamn Super Bowls. So I do think that's fair. Francisco Greco weighing in, a favorite in the betting Twitter community. Joe in one. Yes, sir. P. Bostiana weighing in. I'm a Pats fan, and they will suck this year. I agree. So those are some quick thoughts. I think I like that Cardinals one the best. If I needed to pull the trigger on one of them, if you said, Joe, you need to place a bet right now. So, yeah, I like the Cardinals to maybe flirt with getting into the playoffs. Pushing for a playoff spot should be interesting there. Can't wait for the NFL season. I'm absolutely pumped. Tea Lee, WrestleMania bets. I bet on wrestling before. Night one, here's my prediction for what's going to happen at WrestleMania. So night one is The Rock and Roman Reigns teaming up to take on Cody Rhodes and Seth Rollins. I think The Rock and Roman Reigns will get the W there. And, The Rock will beat the crap out of Cody and do that whole thing like he's been doing leading up to it. Very interesting stuff, by the way. Not as much of a wrestling fan that I used to be. But I think this is all lining up for night two of WrestleMania. The Rock is going to turn on Roman Reigns and Cody will finish the story. He's going to win the championship. But the big storyline will be The Rock turns on Roman Reigns and that will set up something for them down the line. So that is my prediction. I don't like two nights of WrestleMania. What do you guys think of that? I don't have two nights to dedicate to watch 5 hours of wrestling, 10 total hours. Just do it all over one night. Those are my thoughts. Ron Nicole, guessing you didn't see the Trey's news. Yeah, no. Yeah, Diggs, you had him as a target for Allen on your over. No, I think there's a bit of a misunderstanding there. No, we talked about Diggs getting traded off the top of the show. Kind of mixed feelings about that. I think in the short term, it could hurt Buffalo. But maybe a good term, good move long term. Braves, White Sox, anything you like from P. Bostana? Not really. I don't think I even really looked at that one. Braves run line -1.5 is probably a safe bet. I don't even know who's pitching in that one. No. Emmanuel Owen Weston weighing in with one of his best bets here. Emmanuel Valdez under half a hit, even money. At bet365, yeah. So something to look into if you like betting on hitter props and you're looking for some action today in Major League Baseball. Yeah, he's hitting 165. Not very pretty. Okay, bit of a longer show here today, but a bunch of you guys are tuned in, doing really good numbers over on X. So we're going to sign out here, get ready to flip on the TV, watch some Major League Baseball here soon, recording our best bets for the UFC event here this weekend momentarily as well. A lot going on here at Covers, so make sure you are subscribed to the Covers YouTube channel. I think the button's right down there. And while you're at it, hit that like button down there as well. It makes us look good. Helps us out in the old YouTube algorithm too, I think. I don't know anything about that. So that does it here for today. We're going to be right back with you guys on Friday. I think we're going to change up and just go 5 days a week once the NBA playoffs get going. So I'll keep you guys posted on that. But great show today. Thank you guys very much for tuning in. Best of luck with all of those bets, and we will catch you again on Friday.